Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three. This is Lock and Load, and we are speaking now, as we do, to Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill. I'm glad to be here.
Yes, sir. So, Dean is a specialist in bears and in the interaction between human beings and bears. And so he does a lot of stuff about bears, and you recently wrote an article about the bears in the lower 48, which the grizzly bears in the lower 48, which should be somewhat worrisome for some people in some places, I would imagine.
Well, what was odd, and which I started looking into, I have written numerous articles about bears and bear attacks, and they're a fairly rare phenomena, but maybe not as rare as some people think, but what I noticed was there seemed to be an oddly large number of people who were killed by bears, relatively speaking, of course, in the lower 48 states, and really it's just three states. It's Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho. I mean, there's a few bears that make it up into the Selkirks and way far north Washington near the Idaho and Canadian border, but those are just a very small number, a couple dozen maybe. And so they're almost all in Wyoming, Montana, and Idaho. And back in 1975, there were only 700 to 800 bears. So I just said 750 for the purposes of rough calculation.
Right.
And then today, there's almost 2,000 bears. I mean, the official figure is something like 1,923 or something, so roughly 2,000. I mean, you cannot make absolutely perfect census figures on these bears because all the time some of the bigger bears are killing some of the smaller bears and more bears are being born, and it's just not precise, but it's in that neighborhood of 2,000. So if you do the math on that increase from, say, 750 to 2,000 over 48 years, which was from 1975, that's about a 2% annual increase, and the average population would be about 1,300 bears. So, I mean, that's a significant number, 1,300, size of a small town, very small town, almost a village. And then up in Alaska, you have about 32,000 grizzlies / brown bears. I mean, you know, the number of bears in the lower 48 has been generally about 4% of the total number of bears in the United States. And you also have, in the neighborhood of 15, 20,000 in Canada. But since I was looking at the United States, and the United States has different laws than Canada, different gun laws and all that, I just was looking at the United States, and you have this clear differentiation between bears in the lower 48 states and the bears in Alaska. So when a bear kills a human being, it makes news, pretty big news. It's almost always covered. I mean, it's possible, you know, that somebody who didn't tell anybody where they were was out hiking somewhere and got killed by a bear, and nobody ever knows. But very unlikely. I mean, just almost all the fatal bear attacks are covered extensively in the news. So we have a pretty good idea of how many people are killed by bears, and especially since, say, 1975. And the reason that I picked 1975 is because that's when bears, grizzly bears, were put, were listed as threatened, a threatened species under the Endangered Species Act.
Right.
Now, of course, they weren't legally endangered or threatened because there's 32,000 of them up in Alaska, and they're doing very well, plus another 15,000, 20,000 in Canada. And then essentially the same species of bears exists from Siberia, you know, to Spain. Now, their populations are not very large in Spain and Europe in general, but they're existing.
Right.
You know, they're not under threat of extinction, maybe in a certain area. But they got put on the threatened species list in 1975, and the hunting, legal hunting, I should say, of grizzly bears in the lower 48 was put to an end. Now, to be precise, there was very limited seasons in the far northwest of Montana for a few years, and they were stopped by court order in 1991. So what caught my attention was all, when you look at the people who've been killed by bears, well, grizzly brown bears, they're the same species. It's just that the brown bears are where they get a lot of salmon to eat, so they get enormous.
Right.
They just get really big. So they look different because they're huge, but it's the same bears. They are capable of interbreeding. The genetics are not much different. So I looked at all of the fatal bear attacks by grizzly brown bears from 75 to present in the lower 48 and in Alaska. There's only 43 of them. Well, there's 44 because one was by a captive grizzly bear, and I didn't count that in the statistics. I didn't think it was really germane to what we're talking about.
Right.
So I looked at the 43 that were by wild grizzly bears. And 24 of those 43 were in the lower 48 states, where there's, on the average, only been 1,300 bears. And the other 19 were in Alaska, where there's 32,000 bears. So something is different between the lower 48 and Alaska. Now, some people think it might be there's just a higher population of people in the lower 48, and that's probably true. But if we look at something that happened in 1975, grizzly bears no longer could be hunted legally. And before 1975, unless they were on the national parks where they were protected, grizzly bears could still be hunted in most places where they had existed, and they had been extirpated, is the correct word, I believe,
right,
from most states where they existed before because, well, tell the truth, grizzly bears make lousy neighbors. I mean, they're big and they're dangerous, and, you know, they're not something you naturally want to run into, and they're really bad on livestock. Now, what happened before 1975, actually, it happened roughly about by 1900. So we got repeating firearms, 1870s. I mean, we had revolvers before then and some other repeaters, but reliable cartridge repeating firearms, you know, I'd say roughly 1870s.
Right.
And that changed the dynamic a bit.
Let me get you to hold now, right there, if you would. Let me get you to hold right there. This article is at Amalan.com. It's the latest one, or one of the latest ones that Dean has had published there. And what Dean does with the whole bear dynamic is fascinating. So it's well worth the read. You should go check it out, Amalan.com. We'll be right back to hear more about the lower 48 states and the grizzly bear with Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load. We'll be right back. Aero Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Aero Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Aero Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Aero Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
And welcome back, talking to Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load. We're talking about the Grizzly Bears in the lower 48, and we just come to a part where I had to ask Dean to hang on a second. So if you would, please continue, sir.
Right. What I was saying is that by 1900, grizzly bears in the lower 48 particularly had changed their habits a fair amount. And the reason in part was that you got reliable cartridge repeating rifles about in the middle 1870s, 1870, 1875. And that meant that a single person with a rifle in a confrontation with the grizzly bear, the bear usually died.
Right.
And actually, it turns out it was the same thing for cartridge handguns. You got the revolvers, cartridge handguns, about the same time period. I mean, there were some pinfires before that, but they were decidedly less powerful. You just have a problem with that pin going directly into the case, so that it doesn't work quite as well. They're pretty popular in Europe for a while, but they're just not quite as powerful as either a centerfire or a rimfire handgun. So we had these cartridge guns that were reliable repeaters, and bears, if they initiated a confrontation with a human, they tended to die. So they learned fairly quickly, don't initiate confrontations with humans. And the famous bears from that period were the ones that learned to avoid humans but kill livestock. And they became, you know, there were rewards put out for these bears of, you know, $500, $1,000. And that's when $20 was an ounce of gold.
Right.
So it wasn't a small amount.
Right.
$20,000 today. And people worked very hard to try to catch these bears. And eventually they would get them. But some of them went for 20-year killing sprees on livestock before they were hunted down. So they were eliminated from a large number of states, with a significant population being maintained in the far remote mountain areas and in the national parks. And anybody who wants to read about this and realize just how difficult it was to find grizzlies, I recommend they read a book that was written by a British they'd call it maybe a remittance man, but he came to America to make his fortune, and he had several ranches in New Mexico, and he developed techniques, successful techniques, for hunting grizzly bears with dogs. And he puts all this in a fascinating book called Meet Mr. Grizzly, and it just shows how hard it was to hunt grizzly bears when they try to avoid humans. But in the national parks, they weren't hunted. And then in 1975, we extended that no hunting to the entire lower 48 states. But in Alaska, grizzly bears were always hunted, except for the national parks. And I believe the military reservations, like the Elmsdorf Joint Base near Anchorage, you can hunt black bears on there, but I believe grizzly bears are not allowed to be hunted on it.
Right.
So most of Alaska, there's hunting pressure on grizzly bears, and in the lower 48, there isn't. And that, to me, seems most likely the reason for the significant difference in the number of people that are killed for a very small population of grizzly bears in the lower 48 compared to a little bit less. Of the 43 people killed since 75 by grizzly bears, 56%, put it in a percentage, are in the lower 48. And all of them are where it's illegal to hunt grizzly bears. Now, I did a quick look at Alaska, and I'll probably do a full-blown article on this later, but I can tell you that my initial look is that of the 19 people who were killed by grizzly bears up in Alaska, almost half, 9 of them were killed in places where you can't hunt grizzlies.
What does that mean in terms of self-defense with a grizzly, if you have to defend yourself against a grizzly bear?
Up until, gosh, I think it was 2008, you weren't allowed to carry firearms in national parks. So there really wasn't much effective chance. I mean, if you were thinking about it, a big knife, you know, a hand axe, but even better yet, a spear.
What about bear spray? Could you carry bear spray on those?
Well, bear spray didn't really start much into effect till it was introduced in 87. I think it really started going about 2003, 2004.
Right.
You could carry bear spray, and bear spray does work some of the time. I mean, it's just question of when it's going to work and when it doesn't work. We know it does not work very well. It doesn't work very well for black bears,
right?
Generally, not if the black bear is trying to eat. And it works some of the time for grizzly bears, but it's inconclusive.
Right.
And it's very hard to decide or to study how effective bear spray is compared to firearms, because there isn't really good reporting, and it's hard to do an experiment. You know, put somebody out there and have a can of bear spray and get a grizzly bear pissed at them and see, does it work? You know, that's not an experiment many people are willing to do. But I will say, with bear spray, the effectiveness relies on, well, three things, I would say. At least that's how it's touted.
Right.
One is that they claim it produces such a wide stream that you really don't have to aim it very much. Now, it turns out you do have to aim it, but probably not as precisely as, say, a pistol.
Sure.
And two is that it creates so much pain for the grizzly bear that it will stop the attack. Well, we know that it doesn't always work. Some of the time, it does work. And then number three, which is mentioned in the literature but generally ignored otherwise, is that it makes a strange loud noise. And the bears are sometimes driven off just by the loud noise. So, if you're going to use a handgun instead of a bear spray, well, handguns also make loud noises.
Right.
And if you're talking about pain, you know, being shot even with a .22 is pretty painful.
Pretty painful.
You know, handguns are probably at least as painful as bear spray.
Yeah.
And now the other third thing is, well, what about precision? Do you have to be a lot, you know, more accurate with a handgun than with bear spray? Well,
hold up, brother.
That's really...
Hold up, brother, if you will. We're coming up on the next break. About to get to some other stuff, because I got a question. I'm not sure if I've got the right species, but you may know about this. This article, like I said, is at amaland.com. Dean has nearly 2,400 others out there waiting for you today to go peruse. And all of them are poignant. This will be poignant years from now, this idea that, you know, the most deadly bear population in the lower 48 is grizzlies. That will still be a thing. It'll probably be bigger. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American-made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
USA News Update. Senate Republicans say that President Biden is AWOL in addressing border security, with South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham saying the surge in migrant crossings is directly related to the president's policies.
Joe Biden has been asleep at the wheel when it comes to the border. You need to wake up, Mr. President, before we get hit.
Wednesday, Republicans blocked a procedural vote on the president's $110 billion funding bill. The Israeli Security Cabinet has approved an increase in supplies to prevent a humanitarian collapse in southern Gaza. Today marks exactly 2 months since Hamas initiated its attack against Israel. Flags throughout the United States are at half-staff today in recognition of National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. On this day in 1941, a surprise attack by the Japanese military on the U.S. naval base in Pearl Harbor resulted in the deaths of over 2,400 Americans. John Schaefer, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load, and I am speaking to Dean Weingarten. Now, one thing I wanted to ask you about this as far as grizzly bears. Aren't they planning on introducing some grizzly bears somewhere in some near some community here shortly?
Yes, they're planning on introducing a couple hundred in Washington State, and I'm trying to think of the mountain range that they're going on, but it's where they do not exist now. And it's hard for me to see what the purpose is of introducing them there. The purpose, I see a couple of really good reasons. Well, no, that's I shouldn't use that. That's a value judgment. I see a couple of reasons that are being put forward, or and sometimes where they're not being put forward,
right,
to put grizzly bears in there. One is it will really piss off people who the Biden administration view as enemies. You know, outdoorsmen, hunters, mostly men, you know, mostly white men who enjoy hunting and probably are Second Amendment advocates.
Right.
And putting grizzlies up in this area where they do not exist currently is going to make them angry. So that's one positive for the Biden administration.
Oh.
And then the other thing is that so that you can have, there's a segment of the population that wants grizzly bears introduced because it makes them feel better. I mean, I don't know why precisely. Yeah, well, that's my question, but I think they go, well, bears are furry, fuzzy forest creatures, and we treated them really badly, and they deserve to live just like humans do, and so it's a good thing to put them back there. And besides, I live in urban Seattle, and I'm never going to go out there, so I don't have to worry about them.
Right.
I'm paraphrasing.
What will this mean? Yeah. Isn't this sort of like Jurassic Park where we're having dinosaurs in the so they're going to put grizzly bears somewhere.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking the same thing. I said, well, would these same people like us to introduce, T-Rex?
Sure.
I mean, what's the point? It's a very hard sell to claim they're needed.
Where are they? Do they have 200 grizzly bears somewhere? Are they just going to go get them and catch them and bring them back? Or what?
My understanding is they're probably going to try and trap them maybe in British Columbia or other places and then release them into the area.
Where they've never been.
Well, I don't know if they've never been there because I wasn't around a couple hundred years ago.
Right.
But I don't think that they have. They haven't been there for a long time, if they ever were. I'm not sure if that is supposed to be grizzly bear previous range, a couple centuries ago.
Right.
I don't know what records there are for people saying that they're grizzlies there or not. But I do think it's part of this new paganism, this new Gaia worship, where animals are much more important than people. And we wish there weren't very many people around because people are a scourge on the planet. Mm. Humans are a disease that needs to be eradicated.
Right.
And we need to return the world to what it was before there were any people around.
Indeed.
I mean, I think that's sort of a self-hating way to look at the universe. And from my opinion, well, if there aren't any people, who cares? if there's no people, who's going to care? I mean, species come and go over the millennia. If we look at the evolutionary record, something like over 98% of species are extinct. So, and it's not like grizzly bears are threatened with extinction, except in particular areas. And there's plenty of grizzly bears in Canada and Alaska.
But they did not. Now, they migrated away from Washington State, obviously, because they didn't go extinct in Washington State, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. Nobody knows.
I just don't know about that.
Yeah. And now, that's the thing. See, I would be sitting back there going, okay, well, obviously they left Washington State for a reason, and now you're going to... I would postulate that they're putting them somewhere they don't need to go, because if they wanted to be there, they'd probably be there, wouldn't they?
Well, I would think that could happen because Washington State butts up to Canada. There are plenty of grizzly bears in British Columbia, Canada. And so you can't stop them from wandering down from Canada into Washington State. So I guess, I read a paper a little bit ago that was promoting grizzly bears. And saying that we need more of them, and there's not enough. And anyway, but I was kind of surprised because they said the people who want grizzly bear hunts are essentially trophy hunters. I'm going, well, that's partly correct, I think. And then they said this, and it just floored me because it seems so clear-cut, and I was kind of surprised they were going to say it out loud. They said, and the people who want grizzly bears reintroduced are urban women. And I'm going, well, I've never heard anybody say it quite so nakedly before. I think we could probably expand on that. We could cut the group down and say single urban childless women.
Probably.
I know that may be I don't think that's misogynistic. It's just if we look at the politics, that's how it lines up. So now, of course, I'm implying that single women without children like to have some kind of child substitute and a furry, fuzzy forest creature that they don't have to worry about might be a child substitute from my armchair psychology, which I don't have a degree in and I don't play one on the radio.
I understand.
So I'm just speculating.
Right.
But it is kind of telling to say that the people who most want the grizzly bears introduced and maintained somewhere are those who don't live there. And people who live there pretty uniformly don't want the grizzly bears reintroduced.
Sure. Well, I mean,
bears are bad neighbors.
Didn't we see this somewhere else with wolves?
Yeah, we have over and over again. I originally grew up in Wisconsin.
Right.
I guess I'm still growing up, so I'm, anyway. But, and I grew up in northern Wisconsin. And
right.
Wolves have been encouraged to repopulate northern Wisconsin. And there are lots of wolves in northern Wisconsin right now. I was just talking to my brother this morning. It's late muzzle-loading hunt. He was out in the woods. He said, you know, and we grew up on a river, so I know there is cross river where we normally hunt deer.
Right.
He said, you know what I see over there in tracks? Lots of wolf tracks, and I think I might have saw one fawn track, he said. So wolves tend to eat a lot of deer and other game, and that's why one of the reasons we got rid of them in the first place is because they're direct competitors with people hunters, people who are hunters. And so... And yet, we have this clamor to reintroduce wolves for, that seems to me, very peculiar reasons. I said, well, wouldn't it be cheaper to just buy some remote speakers out there, you know, where they could let out a wolf howl every now and then, and, you know, people could say, oh, yeah, I heard a wolf howl up in the North Woods, and they'd be satisfied.
Right.
But the people who live with wolves quickly decide they're not good neighbors, and they really don't want them around. And so that's how this breaks out politically. People who live with wolves don't want them, but the people who don't live with wolves want to impose them on somebody else. And I actually think there's a kind of a meeting of the minds that could happen here.
Right.
Let's have the people who want the wolves in those places just be willing to pay for the damage that wolves do. You know, and if the deer population drops and you don't get as much of a harvest of deer, then they should be paying the hunters, you know, to either get more deer in or pay them to go somewhere else to hunt. They want the wolves, let them pay for what it costs to have the wolves there.
Hang on for me.
But, of course, they won't do that.
Hang on for me, if you will, talking to Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Longevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Longevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for longevity for over 17 years, since before it was longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have longevity.
Is Lock and Load. Speaking with Dean Weingarten, we've been talking about bears. Is there a benefit to introducing local apex predators back in somewhere for any particular reason other than the novelty of it?
It's a good question. Now, the other side would claim that there's a benefit, that they somehow benefit the ecosystem. But when you look at the claims, it's all opinion.
Right.
You know, do you want animals that, you know, destroy more trees and benefit one species over the other? Or do you not want them? You want to benefit other species over a different species? I mean, it's really, I think it's all a matter of opinion. There's what we see is with apex predators is that they do not control game populations.
Right.
The predator populations and the game populations jump up and down. And if you encourage too many predators, you can have a situation where the game population is brought down to a very low level, and that causes the predator population to crash. And then both of them are kept at a very low level because as soon as the game population starts to recover, the excess number of predators keeps it down. So it's, predators are a very poor way to manage game populations. They just don't work very well at that. Some people just say they like the idea of having things out in the woods with teeth. Well, I guess there's some benefit to it. I mean, I didn't worry about necessarily carrying a firearm with me when I was growing up in northern Wisconsin. You often had one, but I didn't always. And now, when I go out in the woods, I always have at least a handgun on me.
Right.
So what are the chances of attack? Pretty small. I mean, we just had that case where a mountain lion was killed by a archery hunter down in Buffalo County in Wisconsin.
Right.
And the cat was clearly stalking him. So it was all justified and ruled to be justifiable defense. And then we had, I think it was a couple years ago, we had an archery hunter in about the middle of the state in Wisconsin that believes he shot a wolf with a pocket 380. I mean, three wolves came running at him. First came within just inches of him, and he kind of like tried to back away, and a second one was coming at him by him, and he thinks he shot that one. He said it looked to me like it was wounded as it ran off. They never found it, a wounded wolf. And then in the same area, within a couple weeks, there were a couple other people had close encounters with wolves. So it's a rare incident, but today's firearms are so lightweight and the holsters are so good and it's easy to carry that, of course, I don't go out in the woods in northern Wisconsin unless I have a firearm with me anymore. So in a way, maybe that's positive because it teaches people to be more responsible and you know, that's a good thing in my opinion.
Now, these areas where they've reintroduced wolves, these areas where they want to reintroduce grizzly bears, is there enough game in the ecosystem to where these bears aren't going to have to be looking and going, so which way is Seattle?
Yeah. I'd say that the bears do have serious population effects on ungulates, you know, elk and deer and moose. And what they do is the way that they reduce the population is they feed on the calves shortly after they're born. They actively hunt deer fawns, elk fawns, moose calves, and they can get a large number. I mean, I've seen some studies indicating that they may predate 70-80% of the calves or fawns in a particular year. So they definitely can have an impact on game populations. And wolves, without question, can really reduce game populations because it takes a lot of game to feed a pack of wolves.
Right.
So those are valid reasons why our forefathers, only like two generations ago, I mean, when my grandfather was homesteading in bought land in northern Wisconsin, it was pretty wild yet.
Right.
So his father, it was, there was a serious concern because people lived off of the stock, the livestock that they raised. And when a wolf or a bear, or a wolf pack or a bear took a cow or a few sheep or a pig, that was that much less the people had to eat. So just when I was a boy, when I was about 11 or 12 years old, I remember that we'd report there was a black bear that had attacked a horse at a farm 20, 30 miles from us. So the biggest problem for reintroducing these predators is that when the game has been reduced down to a significant level, they start looking for other meals.
And right.
Generally, the first place they start looking is livestock on farms. And the other thing that happens a lot, and really is a problem with coyotes,
right,
is pets. People's dogs and cats with coyotes. You know, if you've got a cat population, it often is severely reduced when coyotes come into an area. And dogs are killed by wolves with a significant regularity. And we've had reports of mountain lions killing lots of dogs' pets in California after they banned the hunting of mountain lions for about 50 years in California. Right. Used to be mountain lions were afraid of almost any dog because they had experience of being hunted by packs of dogs. So they were very wary of even a small dog. But because they're not hunted much anymore, hardly at all, California, they now apparently feel perfectly justified or unafraid to kill pet dogs and make a meal of them.
Right. Well, if they start looking for pets, that means they're in close proximity to housing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I think that happens. Now, I haven't seen as much information on bears killing dogs as wolves and coyotes and mountain lions. It just seems that they're not as adept at grabbing dogs or whatever, but they make a mess. They break into houses. You have to be extremely careful. Lock up your garbage. Don't leave any pet food outside. And of course, the grizzlies in particular are known livestock killers. So it comes down to, if you have to live with these predators, you generally prefer they weren't there.
Right.
But if you don't have to live with them, you just make it somebody else's problem. Then it's okay. In economics, we call this externalities. you don't have to pay for the externalities, so you don't worry about it.
Right.
Let somebody else worry about it.
I just
kind of that. Don't raise taxes on you or me. Raise them on that guy behind the tree who happens to be a cattle rancher out in Wyoming.
Yeah. That whole thing. When I saw that was happening, my first thought was, "Were you going to look into that?" Now, will there be any sort of like an impact study on how this will affect this area when they release these bears?
That's a good question. I would think there should be, but you know, we live in a society now where how the law is enforced depends on where you stand politically. And so I don't know if they're going to require an impact study. They should, but the EPA is highly politicized as well.
Right.
We will see. I mean, in my opinion, the EPA should never have been granted the authority to seize property without recompense, and yet they've been doing it for over 50 years. Who knows what we would call normal legislative or criminal or lawful procedures will be followed.
Who can tell? Anyway, we're about to run out of time. Find Dean's work at amaland.com. Nearly 2,400 articles, all of them this kind of thing, this kind of thought-provoking thing. What is this doing? Why are they doing this? This is dangerous. This is the impact on humans, this kind of thing. He takes a nice deep dive in on it, and I appreciate him coming and sharing his stuff with me. So I'll be talking to you soon, sir. Thank you.
Very good. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. As for me, I'll be back in 23 hours. Between now, or 21, excuse me, 21 hours. And between now and then, remember this, it has never been about gun control. Not once, not ever. It always has been, it's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
I've seen just about every corner of this country, 3 million miles in my career. I spend a lot of hours on the road, but I love being my own boss. The road can be a beautiful place, but you're out here on your own. There certainly are risks. I'm Charles. I'm a truck driver, a husband, and a father. And that's why I choose Federal.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.